Today is the day that the Lord has made, and walking around and visiting with some folks before church, I know that you're thankful to be here today, right? Heard a lot of pleasure to be here and thankful for the day that we have together at worship today. I just wanted to make one real quick announcement because sometimes as children arrive, Gayla might be called into the nursery. So I just want to, well, Gayla's here to know that the flowers on the altar are from Gayla Eagle in her garden. So when you see her, tell her that she's doing a great job with raising the flowers, just as much care as she would her children, and let her know thank you for decorating the sanctuary for us today with such love and care. Do we have any prayer concerns that we'd like to start our service off with? Before we go on the radio, anyone, just put your hand in the air if you have any prayer requests for us, or maybe even moments of joy that you'd like to share. Yeah? No? Oh, okay.
I'm sure probably all of you have heard by now about Wilma. Ken's sister, Wilma Mavis, has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. They did a biopsy, and in a week we'll know what's next.
Continue prayers for Wilma. Anyone else?
How about all the folks in Texas?
Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Karen?
This has to do with the people in Texas. I know they're asking for monetary donations to be given to Red Cross, but we have UMCOR, and all of our money that we give to this would go to strictly supporting the people that need this money.
All right, so there's no removal of our dollar that goes to other costs. The dollar goes to the cause. So we'd like to encourage those of us, if we'd like to give that way to Texas, that we sign over to UMCOR, because they are present in that area already working on behalf of United Methodist Church. We're thankful for that. Anyone else? I don't have the full story, but we had a successful fair, I take it, right? I didn't hear that there was any accidents and things like that that happened throughout the week, so I just think we can be thankful of hosting so many people in our community that we didn't hear anything that wasn't just a great week, so we're thankful for that as well. Anyone else? Okay, this announcement I'm going to start things off of, so I hope you have something to write with. We'll be putting it on the order of worship sheet next week. However, the 23rd of September, that's a Saturday, the 23rd of September, we're going to have our third year annual church picnic. And so if you haven't been there before, let me tell you a little bit about what we're going to have. It's pretty simple. It's a bring a dish to pass. We love the stories that come with it. So if you have great aunt Julie's potato salad, we want to know that, right? So there has a story to go with that. But they just have a simple meal, some hot dogs. If anybody else wants to bring any meat dish, that's great. But we usually have a whole bunch of side dishes there, a lot of desserts, have some fun. We do have some stuff for the kids, so you'll see them running around. We try to get a hayride together for them. And sometimes, when the weather permits, we even have some music going on, kind of an old-fashioned hymn sing, right? So it's a lot of fun for all of us, and it's just a great opportunity for us to gather together. So that's going to be on Saturday the 23rd at 1 o'clock. Over the Potter's house, and so we're going to have that in the bulletin with the address next week, but kind of block off that Saturday afternoon. Don't do anything for lunch, because it's a pretty good lunch to have and a great time. So the 23rd. Anyone else have an announcement? Dee?
Hi, my name's Bob, and and I just want to remind you there's a lot of upper rooms in the back.
All right. Well, that was a short and sweet announcement from Bob. That is pretty good. Anyone else? You might have to serve as witnesses, because I know Dee is going to be like, Bob, I told them. So, anyone else? Okay. Do we have any birthdays that we're celebrating this week? Any birthdays?
I had a birthday on the 25th, and my daughter ended up putting it on
Facebook. Oh, hey. We know the bless her heart comment, yeah. So the 25th was your birthday. The 25th. Does anyone have a birthday to go along with Wanda this week? Can we sing a bless her heart birthday? Can we do that?
Happy birthday.
And I know you appreciate the music there because you've been so steadfast in making sure that we're always full for our special music. And we just thank you for that over our summer because it's really a great testimony and ministry. Thank you for working so hard and doing that. So anybody have an anniversary this week? Al, is Mary celebrating too or just you? 46 tomorrow. Oh, my goodness. Wow. 46 years. Anyone else sharing an anniversary with the Nichols this week? Well, thank you guys for coming here and allowing us to sing happy anniversary to you. Can we sing to them today? You know, when we sing those songs, sometimes we get into the routine, right, that we're going to ask for anniversaries and birthdays. Those are a special thing for us to acknowledge and celebrate, isn't it? And think about the words that we sing, too, because it's a little bit different than what we sing outside of church, isn't it? God bless you at the heart of all these things that you're celebrating, these great moments of life around those that love you unconditionally. May God bless you. Happy birthday and happy anniversary. All right, let's go ahead and begin our service today, and we'll have you stand if you're able, and we'll sing this song. And if you're not familiar with having four numbers in the bulletin, in case you need it, it's out of The Faith We Sing, that thin black book, or you can follow along on the screen. This one's going to be 2062, The Lily of the Valley. Please stay standing if you're able. We'll ask for the Lord's blessing on our gathering worship service today. Almighty God, author of all creation, today for this moment that you have given us, we give you endless thanks and praise. Would you be glorified in the songs that we've lifted up and all that we say and do, Lord? Would your Holy Spirit descend upon us, fill us, and guide us to the paths of righteousness for your name's sake that you will lead us down. We would ask that you would fill our hearts and open our cups beyond overflowing with all that we have in our worship service today. In Christ's name, we pray this. Amen. You may be seated. As we find our seats, you know, that's a song that I remember singing at some camp gatherings and things like that. You know, sometimes there's a certain beat that you can keep with a camp song. Well, I want you to know, if you weren't following along in the Thin Black Book, The Faith We Sing, I didn't just make up that hallelujah. It was written in there, okay? So I just wanted you to know, it could be a hallelujah moment. I encourage you to do that, but that actually was written in there. It's an optional thing, so I'm thankful for that. Anyway, let us sing together twice. We'll sing Surely the Presence of the Lord. Can we do that through twice? Number 328. Amen. What a powerful song that we've sang many times before. Maybe this was your first time singing that song or hearing it. How expectant do we come into the house of the Lord and expectant of worship to know that there is no doubt in the Lord's faithfulness, that His presence is felt here today, that we walk in expecting the Lord to work within us and prepare us for all the miracles that are coming beyond this day. Surely the Lord's presence is in this place, and He will go with us from this place. What an opportunity for worship. I tried to look around. Do we have any kids with us today? Do we have any that not named Scarlett? Come on. No? That's okay. Well, what I'll do is we will go over that today because, you know, we have a very special time. And Linda Schramm's going to come up, and I'll invite you over here. And this isn't necessarily children's time, but as Linda would attest to in the lay servant teaching classes, we're all children of God. So let's segue into that. There's a song called Are Ye Able that we're gonna sing. But as she's making her way up here, we're not going to sing it just yet, but we don't have the slides for it. We do have the slides for it. So it's 5:30 in your hymnal, or it's up on the screen. Linda, before I stick my foot in my mouth anymore, you go ahead and take this, okay?
Okay, thank you. In my heart, I've been hearing, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And that's what we're planning to do after a year's lapse. We're planning that the chancel choir will again begin to sing each Sunday during worship, beginning September 10th. Yeah. Because I miss the music it involves so much, and waiting for others to step forward to volunteer to lead it, and I felt the nudging of God saying, you can do this. First of all, I had to make sure a keyboard person was in place. I don't play a keyboard. I don't play piano. In my family, music was important. And in second grade, we all had to start piano lessons. And I've had 4 years of piano lessons, but I still do not play. But I just wanted to say I do have a musical background because I got to quit piano lessons the summer after fourth grade, when we could start summer band in my town. And so I started summer band playing the flute. I took the 6 or 8 weeks of that. By the end of the summer, I still couldn't get a sound out of the darn thing. But I just, all my life had wanted to play the flute. And so I continued playing the flute while finally was able to get a sound out of it. I wasn't good, but I was good enough to play in a band. But there were always a lot of flute players in the town where I lived, and I'm not a real competitive person. And so I fell in love with a different instrument called the bassoon, because there wasn't so much competition to play the bassoon. And so in seventh grade, the summer before, between seventh and eighth grade, I started playing bassoon in summer band. And so by second semester of eighth grade, I was able in the band to play the bassoon. And it, if you don't know bassoon, it's kind of a long, low woodwind instrument, but it's a bass clef instrument. Because part of my problem with trying to be a keyboard person is I could not get my brain around reading a treble clef and a bass clef at the same time. I could just feel the fight in my brain. And so by playing a bass clef instrument, I did learn to read the bass clef really well. And so now when I sit down to fiddle around on a piano or whatever, reading the two clefs is no longer an issue. But as a kid growing up, it was. So just to let you know that I do have musical background, just not piano background. I ended up playing in both band and orchestra in my junior high, 8th and 9th grade, and 3 years of high school, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. I started playing bassoon, so I didn't have a lot of competition, but I went to a fairly large high school, and so there ended up being four bassoons in the orchestra. And so there was still a little bit of competition, but enjoyed playing it a lot. I feel God really blessed me in being in a school system with an outstanding music program and had wonderful musical experiences as being part of that. Along the way, I somehow started going down to church to sing in choirs. I was raised in a large Methodist church at that time. And so there was a junior choir I sang in, and then was in junior high, so old enough to sing in the intermediate choir. And that's where I started learning how to sing the alto notes, finding I could sing not only the melody, but the harmony along with it. And after the intermediate school choir, we had a high school youth choir. So that's where I really learned to sing. I don't have a solo voice, but I think I sing on key. And so I really enjoyed being a part of those things. And then skip over to 42 years ago, our first Sunday in this church, sitting kind of over in that section where a lot of people, when they first started coming to the church, kind of come in the door and down there. It was during one of those stages when we were kind of noted as being kind of a cold congregation, not real friendly. And I remember that first Sunday, probably the only person that spoke to us other than going out the door and shaking hands with the pastor was Jenny Huntington. She was the wife of a principal in the school system at that time, and she heard me singing alto, and she turned around and said, I probably introduced herself, but mostly said, hey, you'll have to come and sing in our choir. And so that happened to be April, so when September came, I started singing in the choir, and I've been part of the chancel choir all the time since then. As I say, I don't have a solo voice, so you've never heard me get up here and sing a song by myself with accompaniment. But if I get my arm twisted enough, I have sung in like a three or four person group to get some harmony in there. So what I'm trying to tell you, if you like to sing, do join us in this choir. If you can't sing harmony, just sing melody. If you think your voice is too low for the melody, then sing the melody an octave lower. But if you like to sing and want to be a part of chancel choir, do feel welcome to come. Our first practice is going to be a week from Wednesday, September 6th at 6 p.m. in the choir room, which is downstairs. Come sing with us, give us a try. And I hope you'll be a part of this. And so the Sunday after Labor Day will be our first performance after one practice. So come and join us. I've got a song which is going to work, and it's going to be wonderful. So if you have that music kind of in your heart, give us a try. You don't need to be a soloist, because most of us aren't, so do join us. And so in doing that, and we're going to have a project going on in this church coming up in a little while about people telling us what their favorite hymn is and why it's their favorite hymn. For me growing up, my favorite hymn was 530, Are Ye Able? That's one of the early songs I learned to sing alto in. And so Matt had suggested I pick out one of my favorite songs, hymns. Any of you who have been in Methodist Church a while can probably sing it pretty well. But it was a new one for Matt. So will you stand at this time and sing Are Ye Able with me?
Right.
And if you can harmonize, go ahead. Thank you.
You may be seated. We're thankful for that opportunity here, and we'll hear some more about sharing those moments of special music. But I did want to rehab these things here because there was a moment that, Linda, when you came up, you did a great job of explaining just a piece of why music was so important in your life, and we all probably have a unique way that music speaks to us. And because Dee wasn't prepared to share on Bob Stashek's behalf, let me reiterate something that Bob tells us all the time, is that music can sometimes speak to us and give messages to us through the gospel that sometimes we're just just don't. It comes with a melody. And it's interesting because each song that we sing was written because something was placed on someone's heart. And there was a conviction, those nudges like Linda talked about that said, put this down on paper. And even some people didn't write the music to it, so somebody else got nudged to put music to this beautiful song. And so, you know, she talked a little about, reminded us that, you know, we've had a season, right, where the choir has not been here all the time. But, you know, it feels like that season is past, and we're back to a season of fulfilling our chancel choir. And, you know, for one of the things that goes so powerfully with our radio and so much about our identity of who we are as Sandusky First United Methodist Church is our choir. And in an area when there aren't really many choirs around, this stands out as a powerful ministry and a way to bless us and use our gifts in a unique way that isn't always available somewhere else. So again, this Wednesday, right? This, what's that? A week from Wednesday at 6 o'clock, right? We'll be here, and then the first time that we'll be doing that as chancel choir will be the September 10th, right? Okay. Fantastic. So please see Linda if you have a question about that, because the more we have, the better. And I was glad she said that she played a different instrument, because it's not a competition. Chancel choir isn't a competition. It's a way to sing unto the Lord with a beautiful song and a voice. So please be a part of that if you felt led and are gifted in music. So at this moment, we had a little bit of a sharing, but one of the things that we always have looked forward to in the weeks leading up since the beginning of the year, how are we almost to September, and we've had these stories just continue to come in, right? We have to continue to build momentum. It's important that we hear these things. And Monica, I'd like to invite you to come on up and share some of your story, because me personally, I got a chance to hear some of it, but I know there's a lot I probably don't know. So I'm going to hand things over to you, and you can share with us your story, Monica.
I really debated about what I wanted to share with you guys today, but I've really been thinking a lot about what I've learned from the children that I've worked with over many years. But that wasn't my first career choice. I graduated from Oakland University, and I went to work for the Red Cross as a field office assistant. We worked on the bases. I spent 11 months at the Naval Air Station in Brunswick, Maine. We assisted with emergency notifications to servicemen and provided financial assistance to service families. And then I was transferred to Northern Maine, to Loring Air Force Base, a place called Caribou. Now, Caribou is so far north that when you flew out of the airport, they wouldn't let the plane take off until a police car went down the runway and made sure there were no moose on the runway.
Oh, no.
But it was really there in Caribou that I found that I really connected with children. On the street where I lived, there were tiny houses, as you first turned down it, where retired folks lived, middle section, single family homes, and homes that had been converted to apartments. And at the end, dilapidated housing, many of which didn't have indoor plumbing. And in that 9 months, I knew every kid on the block. The two little girls that were the mailman's daughters were at my house often. The kids who came from the dilapidated housing were playing on the street when I got home. And that's when I decided to go back to school. I got my degree as a master's in library science, became an elementary school librarian, and also got my teaching certificate. My roommate had a sister on the West Coast, and she really wanted to go there. So one day, we called all the library hotlines on the West Coast. She stayed in Michigan. I ended up in Klamath Falls, Oregon. And then I would spend the next 40 years working with young people. And the greatest lesson I learned from those young people was to live with an attitude of gratitude. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18 took on new meaning. Give thanks in every situation, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Teaching at Mills Elementary School was a challenge. It was in the poorest neighborhood in Klamath Falls. 92 to 95% of our children were on free or reduced lunch. And poverty takes on a new face when the school counselor comes to a staff meeting the week before Thanksgiving and wants to talk about children who are acting out. She's not talking about children who are excited about Christmas. She's not even talking about children who are anxious or worried that there won't be anything under the tree. She wants to talk about the children who are suffering a high degree of anxiety because they do not know whether there will be food on the table for them over the holidays. But they were a joy to work with. Early on in my teaching career, our school did a training in assertive discipline, all the usual stuff, you know, how to set rules, expectations, all of that stuff. But the one thing that changed forever how I worked with kids was that we were told that for every negative interaction you had with a child, you needed to have at least 3 positive interactions. So I began looking around and then trying to figure out ways I could increase the number of positive reactions with those kids that came to my library. You know, phrases like, I like the way you doing whatever. I appreciate you. Thank you for working the checkout test for me. And that carried over into my work with children in my youth ministries at the churches that I attended. We had a Wednesday Night Live program, and I had 8 girls, grades 4th through 6th grade. Half of those 8 girls were from longtime church families. Half of those girls are what I would call my street kids. It was grandma who brought their granddaughters, who brought their friends. And one year, it seemed like every time I came into the church to teach, one of the leaders was saying, do you know what these girls did? Everything from discussing how whales mate to writing on the bathroom mirrors with lipstick. And it would have been really easy to give up on those girls or be really discouraged. So I sat down one afternoon and I said, okay, what can I thank God for that these girls brought to the table? And what I remember most about this group of girls is in February, I looked at them and I said, I'm tired of teaching. You have to do it. Not one of my girls said I can't do it. Not one of my girls said I won't do it. Not one of my girls said I won't work with the person I had partnered them with. And for 4 weeks, they taught the class. Now, I have to confess, that first class, it took all my willpower not to tell them how to teach. But when I relaxed and became a student, they did a phenomenal job. Gratitude leaves a whole lot less place in my life for the negativity that's out there. And it's also about rejoicing, I think, with people. It's about rejoicing with a young man who's 6'4", a Klamath Indian tribe member, who approaches me in Walmart and wants to introduce me to his family and his 2 young children. I had him in school. Or the young woman who approached me in the grocery store, who had a rough elementary school, even rougher high school time, getting into drugs and who knows what else. But she'd gotten her life together, and she was taking classes out at the community college. Or going through McDonald's and talking to the young man who lost his father to cancer the year he was a 6th grader. And he had just been accepted to the University of Oregon and was going to major in engineering, just like his father. And finally, I'm most grateful for a God that rejoices over us with singing. One of my favorite verses is Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. It can't get any better than that.
Annika, thank you for sharing that story with us. And, you know, the tail end of there are those moments. And if we've ever talked together about worship or planning something with some of the leaders that we have here, it's always unique how the Lord works with some of the things, the moving pieces that we don't plan together. I didn't know what Monica was going to say, and I didn't know fully what Linda was going to say, but there's a real big focus on the importance of music today, isn't there, in the life of our worship. So I'm thankful for those reinforcements. Let's have a moment where we can still stay seated. We'll sing number 2065, Out of the Faith We Sing, More Precious Than Silver. As we stay in that moment of bringing ourselves to peace, knowing that nothing that we can describe or desire is more precious than the Lord, would you please join me in a moment of prayer, and at the conclusion of that, we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. Creator God, for each and every breath that you give us, we are humbled by the experience of having life and knowing that Jesus is what makes that life worth living into an abundance. For the notes that we've lifted up, Lord, we'd ask that you would be glorified and that you would continue to touch on our hearts the powerful ways in which we continue to come together as one body of Christ and worship you. We praise you for the nudges and ask, Lord, that we would be so much aware of the nudges you place on our hearts, the ways that you're trying to get us to do something for you, the work in this world. At the start of this service, we lifted up things and people that were important to our lives that needed us to lift them up in prayer. But Lord, we know that there are so many more that went unspoken. And for those of us joining on the radio, we didn't have an opportunity to hear from them. But could we all take a moment in silence as we lift up those persons or situations from our hearts to yours that need to be lifted up in prayer? Lord, thank you for hearing the whispers of our hearts, the things that go silently from our hearts to your ears, always waiting to receive the opportunity of spending time together with you. There are so many things that prayer can encompass and so much peace and hope it can bring us, that the disciples once asked in Scripture how it is that we are to pray, and it's how we've come to the Lord's Prayer that is our tradition we share together. So could we now, as one body and one voice, say this prayer that's inspired by Jesus' words together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In these moments, when we move on to the scripture for today, you know, there was a time, it doesn't take a whole lot to get me excited. If you spend some time with me, or maybe just absorbed on Sunday, it doesn't take a lot to really get me excited about anything. But I sat down And you know how sometimes when we're standing up, there's kind of a kinetic energy, a movement. And then when we sit down, sometimes that energy kind of goes away. If you've ever sat in a recliner, you know sometimes your energy goes away. I sat there feeling almost a little childlike ridiculous because I couldn't stop my leg from moving and my lip was quivering because I just couldn't settle down. And some of that's just my normal personality, but sometimes a week away will do that to you. You know, if you were here last week, I wasn't here last week, and you don't feel right, you know, and if you've ever missed a Sunday, you know, you just, something's not right, and I hope it would bring that energy to you that we miss you when you're not here, and we're thankful for the opportunity of what makes this a community of faith is that we're a community, right, that we're people together in here, and so if you've ever felt that way, I hope that you feel energized when you come back, and if you notice anybody who hasn't been here for a little bit, I'd encourage you just to reach out to them and let them know that we miss them, and you look forward to their return here when they're able to make it. So, that being said, before I share the scripture, I just want to make you aware that the verse from Peter, I would encourage you to take a look at, because when we initially set up the service today, I thought we were going to have enough time to go into things, but as the weeks and the times led on, I think we got a full scripture message here from just the beginning parts of that Ephesians chapter 4, but I would encourage you to take a look at that this afternoon, or maybe in this week, and see if we can't, you know, make some wisdom to come between there. So we're just going to go from the Ephesians here. And in this moment, I wanted to remind all of you, or maybe see if you can get here, is that if you haven't heard me talk about Scarlett, she is sometimes my normal use of illustration. She's 4.5 years old, and if you've had a young child, and this is my only experience, so I can't say an older child, but if you had a younger child like that, there comes sometimes when they get a toy or they like playing a certain activity, right? And then you spend a small fortune on that toy, and then it sits unused. And then by some miracle, they want to play with it again sometime down the road. And it's really exciting because, again, that small miracle or a small fortune you spent on this toy. And so there's this workstation, this medical station, this doc bag that she has, this medical kit. And I think a lot of kids play with the medical bag, and they practice what they see, and they check your heart with the stethoscope, and they check your temperature, and the blood cuff that never fits an adult arm. You got to put it on your wrist and that kind of thing. Well, anyways, long story short, she's been reinvigorated with this need to play doctor, probably because we went with Melissa when she had to go to a checkup, so she got to see the doctor do all this stuff. And so she pulls out all the things, the temperature, the blood cuff, and the stethoscope. But we did away with the tongue depressor a little bit ago because, you know, even amongst us, it gets a little awkward, right, when you just don't know where it's been or how long it's been around. But it gets real awkward when you have company over, right, because then they're like, what do you do with that? So we put that away. But, you know, we explained, because she didn't really understand why she was doing it. She was just copying, right? Well, how many times have we ever thought about that, maybe in the life of our faith, right, or some of the things that we do? Can we really explain why we say those things, or what even that phrase of Christianese that we say means? Or do we just kind of copy it because that's our routine, that's what we've seen, right? And up until a discussion a little while ago with little Scarlett, she was just doing what she saw the doctor do for so long. Doesn't mean it was wrong, but she really didn't know why she was doing it. So we had a conversation with her, and luckily we know the doctor, so she was able to phone a message and say, these show vital signs. These show how healthy and sick you are, because, you know, when you take your temperature, there's a standard, right? When you take a temperature, there's a standard that it goes against to tell you, are you healthy or how unhealthy might you be, right? Same thing with blood pressure. And there's so many factors in there, but all those vital signs they take goes against a chart, right, goes against a standard to tell us, are we missing the mark, and maybe how far we're missing the mark, and if it's a bad thing, and things we got to watch. So these vital signs are important, and Scarlett began to understand, for us to be healthy, and when we care about ourselves, and we care about other people, right, we want to make sure that we're healthy, right, that we have good vital signs. And this also inspires the sort of the scripture from Ephesians chapter 4 that we'll be sharing here in just a moment, is that these are some kind of spiritual vital signs that we need to be aware of. And sometimes they don't become as apparent as a doctor's visit on our physical body, but these are also moments that we have as individuals, but also to take some vital signs for us as a church. Okay, so we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, but I'm going to back up to verse 11, okay? So it should be mostly on the same page, but chapter 4, verses 11, and I'll go all the way through 16. It was he, and by he meaning Jesus. It was Jesus who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors, and even some to be teachers. Verse 12. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure and the exact fullness of Christ. Verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants to be tossed back and forth by the waves, blown from here to there by every wind of any kind of teaching, or be caught by the cunning and craftiness of men with their deceitful voice speaking and scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow into him who is the head, and that head of the body is Christ our Lord. And finally, in verse 16, it says, from him the whole body that is joined and held together by supporting ligaments grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its own unique work. Now these few verses can expound upon us the vital signs for us as individuals, as members of faith, but also it can go beyond us to take vital signs of the health and the purpose of the church. And in this moment, these four sort of vital signs that kind of jump out in this moment is the first one that we had in Scripture here was making sure that we have a firm foundation in biblical understanding and teaching. A firm foundation in biblical teaching and understanding. Because I think we can agree, similar when we were talking about the Apostles' Creed a few months ago, a lot of us can read these words, or we can have these words read to us. We can enunciate them, we can sound them out, or we can have someone help us with that. But do we really receive the teaching and understanding from those words? And sometimes, I'm going to say this because there's a key member of my family who's not out here right now, so she might not know I say this, but there have been an occasion when I've been told I misunderstood something that should have been very clear expressed to me. Have you ever been there when maybe you were so sure that you got this very basic statement, yet somehow somebody else meant something totally different and you misunderstood something? Have you ever been there? I've been there more than I wish I was. And sometimes even if we explain it, it doesn't get any clearer. That being said, you know, some of the reason that we go to what did the original text say? How does this translate into other things? How do we use a phrase? How do we know the culture? That's why we get into so many things in a scripture and a message, because we might not get everything, all the good stuff out of there, because we don't really understand it, even though we've read the words. And that what happens with study, right? We study something. I know that there are several of us here that can quote lines from our favorite movie. We can say what stars start, you know, was in the, what other movies they were in, that we can quote parts of our favorite book, even a book series. That means there was more than one book in the series, right? That we can absorb this stuff. But how can we memorize those things? How do we have a foundation in those things? Probably because we saw the movie more than once. Would you agree? Would you agree that maybe we read our favorite book more than once? We're familiar with this stuff, and we can tell people about it, and we will. Don't you rejoice over if you hear somebody talking about a movie that you like, and bing, you know, all of a sudden, I'm not in a hurry in the grocery store anymore. I got some time to talk. But it's fresh on our lips, this firm foundation. As a matter of fact, just a couple hours ago over in Deckerville, there was a little girl who was 6.5 years old, and she went to VBS. Not our VBS, but she went to one recently, and she was so excited because her grandparents were visiting. And so she bounded up after Sunday school, and she came up there, and I was about ready to give the benediction. She didn't care. She came right up, and she said, Pastor, I got to share my verse. Okay. She said it 3 or 4 times in a row. Perfect every time. She learned that 2 weeks ago, but it stayed on her heart. And do you believe those are the foundations that when she grows up to be the ripe old age of some of you, not me, but some of you, but those are the foundations that we can build upon, aren't they? When someone is so eager to tell someone they love the verse that they learned, we can build on that. A firm understanding and teaching of the Bible. That's the first vital sign. There's another vital sign that has in Scripture here that says truth in a spirit of love. Truth in the spirit of love. Now, we've talked about that in our discipleship meetings sometimes, that it came with accountability in a spirit of love, right? So there's some difficult conversations or accountability that comes from there, but it's always within a spirit of love. And that same thing that we're talking about here is that there's truth in a spirit of love. And I wanted to say that because here's a moment that we have to remember sometimes, that we see Jesus as that gentle shepherd, right? That we see him as that loving, that right there, you know, that picture right there, that's a favorite for a reason, right? And that's totally true. But sometimes truth in the spirit of love wasn't always manifesting itself as ice cream and puppies. It wasn't always sweet and kind and precious. Sometimes he got after the Pharisees and the hypocrites at times, didn't he? And it was kind of outside the normal picture of that, wasn't it? Sometimes he turned the tables over. Sometimes he even accused the faithful people of the church of being whitewashed gravestones, right? Of not being any good to anybody. That's tough to find the peaceful goodies of a quart of Ben or a pint of Ben and Jerry's, isn't it? That doesn't sound like Ben and Jerry's love to me. But it was in a spirit of love because Jesus couldn't let go what he'd seen, or couldn't let them thinking that that was okay, that that would draw them closer to Christ. Now, I understand that usually a love will have those type of moments that are these moments. But I ask you to wonder about, are you prepared to be uncomfortable? Are we prepared to be uncomfortable because the truth is more powerful than being comfortable? And I say that because, can I share with you a very personal experience of mine that maybe you'll be able to understand, or maybe you've wrestled with yourself. A couple of weeks ago, I heard this contemporary Christian song on the radio, and it was fine. I even knew the words. Then I became a blubber and mess sometime in between it because it hit me in a different spot. There was that nudge that Linda was talking about, that Holy Spirit nudge that was just like, you need to stop and listen to this, right? Don't just sing the words, listen to it. One of my best friends that's in so many pictures and so much life we spent together, one of my oldest friends, we just, for comfortability, have a hard time discussing faith matters. Ooh, what's that sound like, right? A pastor that struggles with talking to his best friend about faith matters. What if he doesn't want to be my friend anymore? That's my guy, right? Who's going to give my toast to my 10th wedding anniversary? I mean, he's got a place in my life that's irreplaceable. I moved around a lot as a kid, and he was the first one that gave me the time of day and invited me to go do something. I mean, he rescued me from loneliness. Isn't that worth protecting? So that blubber and mess fool of a pastor pulled over on the side of the road and realized, I got to have a conversation because sports, while very important, it's not the way that leads to life. While the weather, we love to talk about, right? We can talk about weather a long time. I've been to many United Methodist men's breakfasts. We can talk about the weather. And it does mean something, but it doesn't mean the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, the Gospel according to John, chapter 14, verse 6 says this, and this is Jesus saying this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Real quick, let me read that again. Jesus says to the disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Would you agree that that's not a statement that's open-armed? That's a pretty narrow description, isn't it? That means this is the only way. Do I love one of my friends enough to risk our friendship, but to speak the words of truth that leads to life? Truth through a spirit of love. This has been the first time since I had this capability on my cell phone that a week has gone by. I haven't received a text from him. But the message was too important to let it go any further. Because I'm not guaranteed tomorrow, and I earned that right to have him listen to me. It's the first time I ever questioned, our future together. Truth in the spirit of love. I say this also because there is a funeral, and it wasn't in this town, so don't try to piece it together, that I went out of town for. I was asked to cover for another brother in Christ that was a pastor. And all around the table, six family members sat. Maybe you've heard this before. Maybe you've said it before. We all gathered around, and I was trying to just understand, you know, whose life that we were talking about. And all around the table, they said they didn't go to church. They didn't have a need for all that stuff or didn't really get into all that stuff. But they were a good person. It's like they just ripped my heart out. What do you mean? What do you mean everything, every sacrifice of our lives, the sacrifice of our Savior, and you just call it stuff? Huh. That's not just stuff. That's not just stuff you don't need. That's not throwaway stuff. I got stuff in a junk drawer. That's stuff. Don't call my Savior stuff. Don't call the work that we do as church stuff. It's too important. Have we ever heard that? But they were a good person. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. Not an asterisk, unless you're good enough. Who are you good enough? There's an impossible measuring stick. There's an impossible to reach vital sign in here that says what love is. We can't get there. It's impossible to reach. That's why we keep climbing on to perfection. This is a narrow answer in a narrow way. And it helps being a good person. It sure does. But that isn't a substitute for Christ. Would any of you let anyone in this world call your spouse or your parents or your kids or your best friend stuff that they didn't need? I don't think so. So if they're talking about our Savior, do we express truth in a spirit of love? Now, we don't beat them over the head, right? Because we're not going to strangle them into the truth. But do we let that go unseen? Are we ready to be uncomfortable for that moment when somebody just compartmentalizes the Lamb of God into a box with stuff? People died for these words. People, mostly outside the U.S., are still dying. And I would challenge you to think of every martyr that's ever come, any sacrifice, great or small, we've ever made for our faith. Is it just stuff? Also, our last vital sign comes from the last chapter, or the last verse. From Christ the whole body belongs, every body part, bone and sinew and ligament that is joined together, building itself up in love as each part does its own work. To me, that's gross. I don't want to think of myself being a ligament or a bone or anything. But it's just for us to understand. It's ways for us to understand. It's ways for us to understand that we cannot function without every bit, piece, and part of the body. Ask anyone, anyone who's got some kind of hiccup, some kind of limp, some kind of arthritis, some kind of anything. If it ain't working right, you know it. And it doesn't take something big. It takes something small. It takes something the size of the tip of my pinky nail. If that ain't right, you're not moving right. Individually and as the body of Christ, dear friends, at this place, in this church, we need each other. Because there are things that you are capable of that I can't even fathom. And there are things that I might even be able to think I do pretty well. You can do better. Or show me a different way. I think I know quite a few hymns in here. But would you believe that we sang one today that I didn't know? I know it now. Yeah, the congregation knows it, right? It's just this moment. We all aren't just welcomed here. Dear friends, we belong here. We have a purpose and a reason. We've been gifted with this day to serve the Lord individually, but when enough of us individuals get together and form this community, this family, this body of Christ. Miracles can be worked through us. I mean, I think it goes without saying, don't you want to be part of the miracle that God is working in people's lives? Don't you want to be a piece, right? Don't you want to be a pinky finger of the body moving and not stopping, showing this community the love of grace of Christ? I know you do. I know you want to be a part of that. We want to be that church, not just so we can brag about our church. We want to be that church because that's what we were called for. That's what blood was spilt for. That's what our vital signs tell us that we should be. Now, I would ask this week, when we think about our responsibilities as individual Christ-like followers, as Christians, do we have the vital signs? Do we realize our worth and importance? Can we recognize the worth in each other? All it takes is a few moments to share that with people. That is worth it. Do we understand that we'd be willing to risk being uncomfortable because the truth in a spirit of love is convicting? And it might cost us everything. But even the thief was worth it. Even the thief was worth it. Do we have a foundation of biblical understanding and teaching? It can start today, just like a diet. You can start today. And if you look at Scripture and look at it some more, and we've studied it for a long time, that's okay. But we get better when we share that with others. You could be solid as our Monday night group looking at Scripture with each other and having those relationships, but it happens because you talk about it with one another, right? You bounce it off one another. Your experiences are going to be better for my experiences, right? I know that Deb Darling has so much wisdom in her life that when I visit with her and share a Scripture with her, she's going to have a point of view. There are several things that make me and Deb different. Different experiences, different upbringings, different careers. But if we talk about the same Scripture, we might have some insight that would help each of us grow. That's the understanding of Scripture. You ask a child what this Scripture means, and we'll get a lot of out of the mouth of babes moments. To be willing to talk about Scripture as much as we would quoting our favorite movie or our favorite book series. What leads to life? As good as that movie is, as great as that book story is, it's not the way, the truth, and the life, and is the only narrow pathway to which we can be received by God. At this moment, I'd like to ask our ushers to come forward as we think about ways to powerfully respond to the blessings that we've already received. Individually and as a church, we offer our first fruits, the fruits that originally belong to God, from the blessings we've already received. we know you as our provider. And with you, there is always enough. You will always make enough in abundance. And Lord, we submit these offerings, these gifts, these tithes to you to see your will and your work be done in our lives, the lives of this church, and in the presence in this community. And we'd ask, Lord, that you would bless the houses from which they came and the wisdom to be good stewards of these resources. And we give it all back to you. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. Amen. In this moment, let us sing this song, Go Make of All Disciples, number 571. I would like to have us think of this before we sing this song. It doesn't say grow deeper in your discipleship. We are already disciples. This says go and make. Get off of our comfortable property. Get out of our safe sanctuary and go make disciples of this world. We will grow deeper in that, yes. This song is to go interact and meet people. Go make disciples. Dear friends, to follow without fear, to reach out into this world and go make of all disciples. Would we be willing to risk whatever it is, big or small, because a truth in the spirit of love is worth losing for? Would you agree if we reach out, we might have our hands nailed to something? It might hurt us, but we also might receive this, but we'll never know if we don't take a risk and reach out a hand with the love of Christ to show people the truth in a spirit of love. Could we go forward today encouraged to take those risks, to reach out our hands, to challenge ourselves of what we know and think we know, and share our life of Scripture with others, those that we know and those that we don't? Could we go forward encouraged and strengthened by the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as we leave this place?